I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of the gospel reading for this evening, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, part of a selection of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you that you have called us together this evening for the opportunity to begin our Lenten journey as one. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. And I ask now that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they might be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O God, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Ash Wednesday, as most of you know, marks the beginning of our Lenten journey. The 40 days that we travel together to the cross. Lent can be an uncomfortable time because it's a time of self-examination. It's a time of confession. It's a time of sacrifice. It's also a wonderful journey of repentance, of reflection, and of renewal. It's a journey that we make as individuals, and it's a journey that we make together as a congregation. And especially a journey of reconciliation. A journey of reconciliation, being reconciled with the God who loves us so much. That's what our Lenten journey is about as we travel together to the cross. Reconciliation is one of those words that we throw around every once in a while. And what it means is to restore a friendship, to restore harmony, to balance accounts. To reconcile means to make things right. God longed to make things right with his people. God longed to reconcile the world with the great love that he had for us. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, reminds us that the only way that we could be reconciled to God was through the sacrifice of God's only Son. It's in that sacrifice, it's in his death upon the cross, that the balances, the accounts are paid. Reconciliation happens, harmony is restored, and the opportunity for a closer walk with God becomes a reality. Our Lenten journey should be about a journey of reconciliation, about making things right with God. But it's a reconciliation that we don't initiate. It truly is an act of reconciliation that God initiates. God always takes the first step towards us. God always is the one that reaches out to us. God is the one who longs to be back in a right relationship with us. Our scriptures tonight for Ash Wednesday are those scriptures that would remind us of that. Throughout the ages, God's greatest longing was to have God's people walk in righteousness and to be in love with him. That lesson from Joel tonight The people are facing a great calamity. Things are just disastrous. And so they're fearful. And they know that they need to repent. They know that they have not walked with God. They have sinned. And so they now are facing this disastrous calamity. And so they know they must do something. So they call the people together so that they might repent. And if you listen closely to those words from the prophet Joel, they were called to repent so that perhaps God would not pass judgment on them, that this calamity might not happen, that perhaps God himself would repent, that God would turn things around and things would be all right. In other words, perhaps if they repented, God would reconcile things and there would be harmony and they might walk in the way of God again. Throughout the Old Testament, there's this ongoing cycle, God reaching out to the children of Israel with great love, the children of Israel forgetting about God, sinning, rebelling, doing their own thing, living as if God didn't exist, and great calamities would come upon the children of God, and they would repent, and they would get back into a right relationship with God, and then it would start all over again. They very quickly forgot about God and God's love. Yet throughout the ages, God's greatest yearning was to have the people of God be in a right relationship with him. And so we know that he tried many things throughout the ages, and he finally decided that what he must do to reconcile the people of God to himself was to give his best, to give his only son. His only son without sin was made to be sin so that he could reconcile the world back with himself. We forget that often. We forget that what God wants more than anything is for us to be in a right relationship with him. What God yearns for is for us to be in love with him, to walk with him, to spend time with him. And we put up barriers, we sin, we live as if there wasn't a God. And yet God yearns, God longs to have us be reconciled with him. That's always his greatest longing for us. So on our Lenten journey, we have an opportunity to reflect about that, to think about that, to think about how far have we strayed from God? How far have we gone without, tried to go without God? What are the barriers we put in the place? What does God hope that our lives might look like so that that reconciliation might happen? Psalm 51 is a great psalm of confession. David has sinned greatly against God. And the prophet Nathan has called him out about that. And so Psalm 51, David cries out to God and asks God to fix it. Ask God to cleanse his heart. Ask God to make things right. For us on our Lenten journey, that should be our psalm of confession as well. We should be asking God to cleanse our hearts, to get rid of the clutter in our heart that leaves little room for God, to get rid of the things in our hearts that truly are a barrier to being in love with God. God longs for us to have a clean heart. God longs for us to make room in our lives so that he can live in us. God waits, though, for us to ask. God waits for us to ask that God might cleanse our heart. God invites all the time. God's grace is always out there. God's love is just there for the asking. But God waits on us. God waits on us until we're ready, until we make room, until we have asked him to come into our hearts. Lent gives us that opportunity again to ask God to cleanse our hearts. God longs to be reconciled with us, which is why God gave us his only son. And God longs for us to be in love, to be in a right relationship. God longs for us to not only love him, but to love our neighbors. And we hear Jesus say that very clearly, yet also in a very cryptic way in the Sermon on the Mount. God wants us to give alms to help others. God wants us to pray. God wants us to fast. God wants us to do those things as we walk with him. But God wants us to do it not so that others see us, not so that others think we're worthy, not so that others think we're more deserving, not so that others think that we are righteous. God wants us to do that because we love him, because we want to have that righteousness, because we want to have that closer walk with God. Lent would call us to fast and to give alms and to pray. Lent would call us to ask God to cleanse our hearts. God would ask us to come to him in a spirit of confession so that we might repent and turn our lives around. Because what God longs for most of all for us is that we might be reconciled to him, that we might walk together in righteousness, and that not only in Lent but throughout our lives, that God would be first in our living. God longs for that. It's the yearning of God's heart. Truly, in this Lenten season, may we strive to be reconciled with God, for God has truly made the first step for us by giving us his Son. Amen. You need to know that's not the sermon I was going to preach. I'll save this for another Ash Wednesday. Let us pray. A loving God, we do thank you that you reach out to us, that you love us so much that you gave us your Son. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to cleanse our hearts, to open our hearts, to be receptive and willing and open to receive your love, so that we might truly walk in a right relationship with you. We come together, O Lord, this night confessing our sins and knowing that you forgive us, but also knowing that you ask us to turn our lives around, to repent and to walk in newness of life because of the gift of your Son and your great love. We pray, O Lord, that on our Lenten journey that you would continue to strengthen us, that you would guide us, that you would keep us open and receptive to your grace that calls us forth to not only love you but love others. May we truly be faithful in all of our days, as we long to be in love with you as well. Amen.